Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special Pittsburgh Comics Podcast. We got some snow today, and it caused most of the podcasters to not come. Dave said he wasn't getting out the reindeer, and Pat and Adam just, I guess their roads hadn't been plowed. But Josh managed to drag his butt here, and I was here anyway.
So. Adam has a tiny little car, though.
Right, so that's true. But you think he could just pick it up and carry it, but...
That's true, but you know, imagine Adam trudging through the snow.
That's true. He'd get lost. Yeah. So it's just... I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight is...
Josh!
There we go. So it's the two of us. But we figured Josh was coming to get his books anyway. You know, maybe we won't go 2 hours because there'll be a lot less people talking.
If we go 2 hours, we did something wrong.
Yeah. So at least I'll get home earlier. I still have to go to the grocery store because, you know, snow.
Got to stock up.
So, yeah. Sadly, Pat does the news, so I wasn't totally prepared for that. Oh.
Is that Pat sending
us
the news?
No, that was my lovely bride.
Definitely not Pat.
Texting me. Hang on, sorry. Vamp for me. I got to respond to a text.
Well, first bit of news while you're doing that, Steve Rogers is going to be back as Captain America in the comics.
Yay!
Alongside Sam Wilson.
Yay, because if one Captain America is not enough, you can have two.
Yeah. One has a pointy shield,
right?
Tight
I didn't
shield,
get
one
that.
One has a round shield.
How's he going to throw that?
Because well,
what's his song say? What does his song say?
I don't know the words.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, that's the beginning of his theme song.
He could still throw the kite shield.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll like soar through the air, not spinning, but soar and then pierce something.
Okay, fair enough.
But
oops, sorry.
That's podcast.
No, I was saying do. I was typing doing, and I forgot the I.
Oh. Yeah, so I don't know where they think this audience for multiple Cap books.
Right. That's my problem. And it I think the bigger problem for me is it kind of further diminishes the Sam Wilson Cap book, which wasn't doing great. It was doing okay,
yeah,
but it's not...
even wanting them to return to...
Yeah, and it's not like it's a surprise with him coming out with a Captain America movie in May. I don't know. I almost wish they'd done it coming out of Secret War. Why... start with him, not, and then...
Secret Wars really it boggles me because going into it, it made it sound like they were going
to
use this
to change everything.
All these things and use it as a good excuse to really shake up the status quo, and they didn't at all.
And now they're going to shake it up after, and I'm going to say probably more because things haven't worked out as well as they thought. But yeah, I saw it, and I'm just kind of like, okay, but yeah, I think there were a ton of changes they should have made coming out of Secret Wars.
Like you said, the only new characters that came over, Miles.
And Old Man Logan.
Old Man Logan, yeah.
Which still doesn't make sense. But to be fair, I have not read Extraordinary X-Men, so I can't vouch for how much it makes sense. But
I read issue one and wasn't...
Yeah,
wasn't great,
well, just the fact that you have a character who's dead now and a future version of himself, although I don't... Is it an alternate reality future version? And then that just gets all weird. And I don't think they really explained it. And it looks like... My fear is that the Marvel go-to answer will now be, you know, where we say comics or science is going to be Secret Wars. How did it happen? Secret Wars. With no explanation.
8 months later.
Well, and I was just reading an interview, I think it was on Newsarama, with Tom Brevoort, and he was talking about the 8 month later thing, and he said, well, it's just because, you know, everybody was going to be such a pain in the butt about the changes that did happen after Secret Wars. We didn't want to have to deal with them, so we just jumped everything ahead 8 months so that we could tell it if we ever wanted to. And it's like, wow, that's kind of lazy, in my opinion.
So he's saying that a lot changed, but we just didn't see it.
Well, no, but if there was changes, they might tell us later.
That's what I'm saying. So he's saying we don't see any change right now, but they could show us, oh, yeah, this happened.
Right. And we'll probably talk about Secret Wars more next week when everybody's here. But it's just weird how... Yeah, it's just everything kind of went back to normal, and it looks like there's going to be little minuscule changes, even though the world was reformed by someone else, and it's just, I don't think they're ever going to explain exactly what happened at the end of that. So
I don't think they feel like they need to explain.
Right, right.
Not but,
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he even said that that's the last, you know, FF story.
Yeah.
You know, Fantastic Four story in a while.
For a year until...
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't believe them when they say the last.
What other news do you have?
The only other thing I read... now, granted, I came at this late because we rely on Pat to do this. Yeah, and I was kind of avoiding... I mean, there's been a bunch of movie news and... There was a bunch of the TV shows are back, and there was a special and stuff on that. But the only other thing I saw comic related was that the Thunderbolts are returning as they're being mysterious about throwing stuff out there. And I'm like, okay. The last run didn't do particularly well. So, I wish they'd. New ideas are good, rehashing old ideas, not so good.
Yeah, but I think it's we're going to get a lot of as they. See that new stuff isn't working. They're going back to old stuff that they think might fare better. Both companies, not just...
Yeah, I've said this before. I probably said it on the podcast before, but it's fun. There were two big articles just yesterday and today. Brian Hibbs did a column, another Tilting at Windmills column, that was very interesting. Just talking about the frustration. He also was on that podcast, the Sketch podcast that
it was
I know
really good,
you listened
really
to.
Good interview.
And then it was funny. Mondays, normally on Mondays, there's a store in Dublin, Ireland called Big Bang Comics. And they will do a market analysis. And basically they'll talk about how their sales from the prior week and say, wow, you know, this did well. We sold through 70%. Or this one didn't do so well. We only sold 25% and things like that. And just talking about their sales. And they made a comment. Sorry, I just got to look it up. Because I responded to them. And then apparently later in the day, they went on a huge rant.
You provoked it.
I don't think I provoked it, but hopefully I may have had something.
You sparked it.
To do with this.
Fueled the revolution.
They had said, just their simple tweet was, man, oh man, some of the numbers on a lot of the new Marvel titles are pretty grim by number two. And that was something I was noticing too, where, you know, number one did okay, but all of a sudden there was a huge crash on number two. And my response was just, glad I'm not alone, scared how many books are in single digits. So many books just thrown out there. And apparently they then went on a huge, it was almost like they did a blog post via Twitter at 120 characters. It's on the beat, and I'll put a link to it when I post the podcast. But just basically saying how, you know, just is this, and I think the Beat's article was like, you know, is this the starting, the end of the big two of Marvel and DC?
I don't see that.
I don't see that, but I don't see them being, it is, but it's definitely a downturn for both of them where Marvel, just by throwing a book out there where normally they would, you know, hey, it's a Spider-Man book, it's going to sell X number, all of a sudden it's not. And there's so much stuff out there. And that was what I was saying to them, with where it's just sent out there with no, not reason, but no marketing, just thrown out there. I mean, DC's certainly done their fair share.
Marvel doesn't do marketing, because one thing Marvel does is they announce their books and make sure people are well aware of all their books. The problem is they just put out too many books all at the same time. So
right.
Even if you know what,
but with no message. I mean, okay, what's Weird World?
Yeah,
you know, what do you know?
I have no idea what that book is about, but I knew it existed well before it came out.
Right, but what is their sales pitch on Black Knight? What was their sales pitch? You know, on all these, there just didn't seem to be. Is there a hook? What's the catch? Why should you be buying it? I just really think these were all just thrown out there, and it has not grabbed people's interest. Like, one of the books I read, just, I guess, jumping ahead. Why not? There's no rules. It's just you and me, Josh.
Yeah. Madness.
I read Secret War, Squadron Supreme 2 and 3. Now, I did not really care for number 1, but I was hearing good buzz about it. So I read 2 and 3. I got caught up. 3 just came out last week. That's why I tried to get caught up. And number 2 was good. It basically started talking about how they are very much the analogs to DC. Was it Nighthawk was being very Batman-ish. Wonder Woman was being very not one or Power Princess Power was not being Wonder Woman. She was being far more Superwoman.
Okay,
it was very interesting where she was, you know, almost like the Earth 3 Superwoman, the evil one, which was interesting. You had the Speedster is from the new universe. you know, from, what was that, 80s Marvel. So it was interesting in that regard. And then when it hit number three, they're fighting the Uncanny Avengers, which annoyed me because it's like Marvel is trying to prop up the Uncanny Avengers as the main Avengers book, and it just, Deadpool, no. But it was a very interesting fight, how they were taking each other out, that like Nighthawk realized that he had to take out Brother Voodoo quickly before he got his magic going to eliminate, you know, he was doing something else, but he made sure to take him out first, which was interesting. He had the two speedsters fighting. But then all of a sudden, I think it's like Thundra or whatever. It was like a Hulk character, I think, shows up with somebody and they teleport them at the end to Weird World. And now they're about to, and Archon, the head of Weird World, sees them and they're about to have to fight him out of the blue. I'm like, okay, who cares about Weird World? And why are you forcing Weird World on people? My entire knowledge of Weird World was in a Marvel Premiere two-parter back in the 70s that I had, but it was basically their take on like The Hobbit, their little sword and sorcery type
book.
Yeah,
I did hear that out of all the Secret Wars tie-ins, that was one of the better ones.
Well, it was also written by Jason Aaron, yeah, which is not being written by now. But and it's not that so much, but it's, why are all of a sudden you forcing everybody, and all of a sudden Black Knight, in the Black Knight book, he's king of Weird World. And it's just, it just seems weird, all well, this that, stuff spinning out of
that
a...
That may not matter much longer.
Right. Black Knight. Just all these books kind of spinning out of a tie-in to an event that didn't sell particularly well, I can't imagine, other than on the strength of Jason Aaron's. And the art was beautiful. The art was by the same guy who did the Elektra series that also got canceled.
Was that Phil Noto?
No, not Noto. No. It was very painted. Really pretty. Really, really nice. But it's just... But there doesn't seem to... Why should I care about Weird World? It's going to be important? I don't know. You know, it's just their books are taking these weird directions. And not bad in and of themselves, but just kind of no direction. Like this Vision book that's getting a lot of play. You know, they reprinted number one in, what was it, Spider-Man, Deadpool. It's getting a lot of play about being neat. And I read number three, and it definitely was more Vision-y than the first two. The first two was basically Robot Family.
So did you not like the first two a whole lot?
I did not like them, but it didn't seem to be the Vision to me.
It's definitely not the Vision. I've only read one and two.
Okay.
I haven't read three yet. But I loved one and two.
Okay.
It was certainly a different take, a more unique take. But, I don't know, it seemed like with all these other books that kind of blend together into something really memorable about them.
Right.
That book I read, and I felt like, you know, I was thinking about afterwards.
Right.
It had kind of a, you know, just shy of horror vibe to it. Especially with the storytelling and the narration. A different take on the character. Just, I thought it was really, really well done.
But my problem with the book from the beginning was, in the Avengers Zero issue, you had the Vision casting aside Wanda and renouncing his humanity and vowing now he's just going to be a robot.
And then he goes and makes a family.
And now he has a family. And then, just the cover, you're looking at it's smiling, happy Vision with a family. It made no sense. Yeah. And then I didn't feel like they did anything to push it, or I didn't read, or I wasn't presented with anything saying, here's why this is different, here's why you should read it. It was just, look, Vision has a family. Buy the book. And more, you know, tons of people said no, and that's why they reprinted issue one in that other book to try to get more eyes on.
And why they gave you all those copies.
Yeah, and they've been overshipping us copies, which I don't have a problem with, but it's just, I just wish they would have sold their message a little more. And I think part of the problem also is that Marvel tends to be just hype. Everything. So instead of sitting down and saying, well, this book is good because... Boom does a good job with that, if you look in the previews, where it says what the book's about, who it's aimed at, if, you know, the potential market, things like that. I don't always read, but I like that they do it, where with a lot of these Marvel books, I don't know what this is for. Who is this aimed at? Sorry, it's very hard to get... I get distracted easily during the podcast, but normally I can tune out. I'm getting texts from customers.
Spot.
Yeah, so I'm having to carry that. You know, you and me.
That's all you, man.
Okay. But, so, yeah, I just don't think they had a good message, and I think a lot of people are looking at books going, I don't know what it is, I don't know what it's about, pass, because there's so many new ones, they're all $4.
But don't they, I mean, in the Marvel previews, don't they have, like, didn't they have write-ups for all these books leading up to the launch? So people could see what they're about?
Not write-ups. You got normally three-line description.
Really? Okay.
Of the books. I mean,
I know that's the normal Marvel solicits where it's just a couple bullet points. I didn't
Yeah, that's those. No. We don't get anything more. Different.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no secret retailer.
No, previews. I wasn't saying for retailer. I didn't know if we with these number ones if they did more than they normally do.
No, but here I'm gonna let me pull up
because I noticed that whenever we do the picks of the week, and I'm pulling information for all the books, and if there's a Marvel book on there, I grab it, and where everything else has like, a couple paragraphs or sentences describing it, Marvel's just like. Three bullet points with three short sentences. And that's it.
That's all we get to go by. So here, let me. I'm going to pull up the actual solicit for Vision. Just to, you know, here's what I had to go by. And a cover with happy, smiling robot family.
Creepy, happy, smiling.
Right. Well, just the cover was happy, smiling robot family. No, three was really good. It's a very neat book. But, yeah, I don't know if it was, I don't know how well it was marketed.
It almost feels like, in that book, the whole reason for the family is him doing some sort of experiment on what it's like to have that, which you normally wouldn't have. But, again, like you said, why would he even care if he was denouncing any humanity?
There we go. Okay, Vision wants to be human, and what's more human than family? He goes to the laboratory where he was created, where Ultron molded him into a weapon, where he first rebelled against his given destiny, where he first imagined that he could be more, that he could be good, that he could be a man, a normal, ordinary man, and he builds them. A wife, Virginia, two teenage twins, Viv and Vin. They look like him. They have his powers. They share his grandest ambition, or perhaps obsession, the unrelenting need to be ordinary. Behold the visions. They're the family next door, and they have the power to kill us all. What could possibly go wrong? Okay.
Yes, I don't know.
Yeah, you
know,
robot family. It just, I mean, I understand why people didn't necessarily go, oh, I got to try it. I got to get this.
When I first read the solicit, I was not interested at all. It wasn't until the book came out and people started talking about it that I became interested and picked it up.
But you need to get that buzz before, you know.
So that proves your point there.
Let's see. Ha.
Ha.
So.
You win.
No, not trying to
well,
win.
Well, some of these Marvel books, rumor is now that they may have been canceled already.
Oh, it's funny.
Based on some of the listings on Amazon and other sites for the first trades. I think it was Howling Commandos.
What?
Black Knight. And
no way.
Angela.
But I was talking to Josh and Pat. We were just texting, and I was talking about this article and stuff, and I mentioned that some of my numbers are so ridiculously low, I don't know what's going on. And I have 17 of their titles that I order less than 10 copies of, which is kind of unheard of. That's really, really low. This early, you know, none of these are at number 5 yet. And it's like, you know, I'm looking, Howling Commandos, 3 copies. That's... Because I had my order sitting right next to me, and I was just flipping through going, and a lot of them are like 11, too, above this. So it's just...
What are the books in your list?
It was Howling Commandos, Nova, Ant-Man, Drax, Guardians of Infinity, Star-Lord, Moon Girl, Web Warriors, Hercules, Hawkeye, Contest of Champions, Black Knight, Patsy Walker, Weird World, Starbrand Nightmask, Squirrel Girl, and Illuminati. And just... You know, they're all... Now, granted, you know, when you look at the list, you go, oh, yeah, those would be the bottom sellers. But my thing is, that's 17 books that I have to come up with a number on to try to order these, but that haven't found, as of issue 4, really any sustainable market. And that tells me kind of a failure on their part, again, for marketing. You know, who was Moon Girl marketed to? You know, Web Warriors. Okay, it's kind of a spinoff of Spider-Verse, but there's been so many changes in the Spider-Man universe. Where's that going? And that you're looking at a subset of a subset. So you have Spider-Man fans, and then a subset for Spider-Verse fans, and then you're going to try to get a part of those fans. So it's like you're narrowing your focus.
Haven't they done this for a while? Like, this isn't the first launch they've had where there was... Well, I guess the first big launch... They have it. they've released several books in the past couple of years where they didn't really have a clear audience, and it just seemed like they were throwing it out there just for the sake of
And that does happen a lot.
It succeeded previously. It's like this is the first time people are finally saying, no, we've had enough.
Well, I mean, if you want to go down the list, I mean, Howling Commandos, just, I don't understand the point of that book at all. Monster people, okay, just, but again, no focus. Nova, I think the problem is, and a problem with a lot of these relaunched books, and I've heard this anecdotally from other stores too, where it's confusing the new customers. You guys understand, hey, it's a new number one, but if you were a fan of Ant-Man, you came in on the movie and it went issues 1 through 5, and all of a sudden here's another number one. Oh, I already got number one. Where's number six? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. This is number six. What? And it's just unnecessarily confusing.
And like Brian Hibbs said in that sketch interview, that for people that were kind of on the fence about some of these books,
it's easy jumping
once off. Volume ended, they could say, all right, well, I have this entire volume. I can now jump off and not have it nagging me, oh, I'm missing a hole, or I have a hole in my collection here. And
but it's not enticing people who didn't jump on the previous one to jump on this number
no,
one.
There's no incentive
because
to jump on.
It's clearly... No, it is number six. So yeah. I've already missed the first five.
People who jump on right now to most of these books will be very confused
yeah.
as to what's going on. Because in some cases, they pick up the exact same story
right.
arc.
Right.
Like Hawkeye, where this picked up is right where the last one left mm-hmm. off. I mean, it feels like the story arc was mid-story arc
right.
cut.
Right, and it's things like Thor. If you came in on Mighty Thor number one, wait, why is Thor a woman and she's going through chemo? What, you know, and just not a good starting point. And I think that it's kind of a combination of that. At least when there was New 52, every book was completely brand new. And we had 3 months of talking about it
yeah,
and what they're going to be. Where with Marvel, it was kind of, these were rolled out slowly. So some of these we didn't even hear about until Secret Wars was supposed to be over. And there was that whole Secret Wars... how does this fit in type yeah. of thing.
But with New 52, that was the only time that DC has
yeah.
hyped
yeah.
what books they have out and what books they have coming out.
Yeah.
They are, I mean, where Marvel may overhype
right.
or not explain enough,
right.
DC doesn't yeah. hype at all
yeah.
and doesn't market things at all. You have no idea what's coming out or why you should, you know, check
yeah.
out a certain
no,
book.
I agree completely.
And then even with New 52, like, again, in the Hibbs interview, they released probably too much all at one time
mm-hmm.
instead of letting, you know, a small, you know, stable books come out initially. And then when the next set of books were ready with solid creators and solid, you know, stories,
yeah.
they released those instead of putting 52 in the market all at one time.
Right.
That, you know, I don't agree with his estimate of how many books were worth reading and how many weren't, but, you know, having so many that just
yeah.
kind of fell through the cracks.
Yeah. I think that's what Marvel's seeing too. It's just, it's scary that, you know, this first wave, you know, out of, I don't know how many books they came out with, but if 17 are already, for me, on the chopping floor.
And they're already talking about how many more books coming out?
Yeah. Know? Yeah, they just, you know, sadly, Pat would probably know this, but I don't remember all, but all the books that they're talking about or might be in the next previews, but I know there was like a Spider-Gwen. I'm like, okay, well, they had the Spider-Gwen special. I sold 15 out of 25. So my starting number is 15 on that. That's not good. What were the other books? None of them were really memorable. And it just looked like
yeah.
more retreads. You know, let's try this again.
Was there like two more Deadpools coming out?
I don't know. Deadpool's hitting such a saturation point again already.
Deadpool and Harley Quinn.
Yeah, and there's a new Harley Quinn team-up book.
Yeah, the Gang of Harleys is getting their
yeah.
own miniseries. On top of a one shot that they're getting on April Fool's.
And we still have that, the Black Book going on, which is a bi-monthly.
Yeah. And her regular
right.
series.
So it's just, yeah. If one's good, four's better. And it's not. So yeah, it's just frustrating seeing the big guys. And the other thing I've heard more about on other podcasts and other articles and stuff is the lack of a solid core for Marvel, meaning an Avengers book, an X book that you can then branch off of. They don't have, you know,
yeah,
I've said that before.
They don't have a traditional Avengers book right now.
No traditional Avengers book. There's no main X book. And it's hard to do spin-offs when there's nothing to spin off from. And if you can't say, well, I read Avengers, and then if you like this part, read this book. You know, All New, All Different is Nova and Miles Morales and Ms. Marvel. New is Squirrel Girl. Uncanny is a new Inhuman and Deadpool and Brother Voodoo. You know, where are you going? You know, it's just weird teams that aren't getting in the audience that an Avengers book used to have. I was bemoaning the fact where I used to have, you know, it was good week. Oh, it's an Avengers week. It's a Thor week. And just, I don't have those anymore. This week was a Batman week where that book is enough to get people in the door to try other things.
Yeah.
We're just not seeing that anymore. Spider-Man kind of killed that in the sense when they were shipping 2 and 3 times a month, it wasn't special anymore, you know, when Spider-Man would come out. And now there's still so much.
It was too much, and the story was suffering as a result of it. It wasn't an interesting story to
do that. Yeah. So, we're in a bit of a lull now, and I'm sure we'll get out of it.
But I have no idea how they get out of it.
I don't know how either.
Marvel can't relaunch again. Even DC, I wouldn't say.
DC can't relaunch, but what they can do, like what I'm hoping, and it's going to take a lot of work on their part, but like they're doing a creator change on Aquaman coming up. And I'm hoping they promote that and, you know, talk about it and get some buzz so that numbers start going back up. It's not impossible to do, but it's easier to do on issue 53 than it is to do on issue 6. On issue 53, that's getting us more into, you know, where we, you know, growing up, I was at, you know, Spider-Man 220, you know, so something, you know, you could have changes where you can't really. I mean, they just announced A-Force is having a creator change as of issue 6. It's like, wow, you know, issue 1's already out, and we already know that these people are going to be off.
It's fast.
Yeah, I mean, we already have an art change on a lot of books. It's just, they do need some continuity going on and stuff. Yeah, it's just tough. But I think DC has a better opportunity to make those changes midstream, where Marvel, I think there's kind of like, okay, you just relaunched everything. What's your next plan? Oh, by the way, Civil War is going to tie everything up for 6 months. So now we need to make a plan for the books that are coming out in December, because everything's going to be botched between May and November, or however long the event is.
But yeah,
my guess is 6 months, 6 issues. And I think that might actually have some people not necessarily wanting to get into some of these books, because you already know we have an event coming.
We already know we have two events coming. So there's the Spider Universe event
that's
coming up.
Right.
And then Civil War 2.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just, I don't know. I also don't see the Civil War being as big as Secret Wars. Secret Wars kind of had a natural catch with the title, and all the miniseries had big titles, and that was intentional on their part.
Secret Wars was almost required reading if you were going to continue reading.
Well, yeah, because everything was done. But I think, whereas that might have brought some people in to try it, I don't see Civil War 2, the battle, whatever, the whole plot sounds very complicated to me. Where there's a precog who can tell who is going to cause a crime. One group of people wants to be able to arrest these people before they commit the crime, and then other people don't.
Yeah, so
and it just doesn't sound
The premise they're saying is that this precog can predict, and Captain Marvel, who I guess is in charge of Alpha Flight,
right,
is all
which
for,
you saw at the end of Secret Wars.
Yeah, is all for them, you know, stopping these crimes where they happen.
Right.
And then you have Tony Stark and Captain America, saying that you can't punish people before they commit the crime. My problem is it doesn't seem like it's in line with the personalities of the characters. Like, I can't see, based on the most recent Captain Marvel volumes, her being on that side of the argument, and suddenly we have Tony on, you know, the more humane side of the argument. It feels like it's a cash grab to coincide with
with
the movie.
I agree completely. And it's just one of those, okay, now you're stumbling into your first event. This is not going well.
Yeah.
You know, this is not setting up for a solid summer for Marvel. Matt, who is a big Captain Marvel fan is very not happy with issue one.
Is it too late to return mine?
No. No. I'll let you read what he said. I was going to go, it was funny because I was talking to these guys about my sales numbers and stuff. And they're like, oh, that sounds like a good thing to talk about on the podcast. But I'm kind of burnt out on it at this point. I just want to see something change, something get better. And it's funny because someone else commented on something and they're like, well, the answer is buy more Image. And I'm like, I wish. But Image's problem right now is that they keep taking these breaks. And it kills me. Every time I see it, I see the sales drop. Like, we got Nowhere Men came out today after a year and a half. And you had Autumnlands was doing well, and then I'm seeing sales are cut in half because they took a break. And Saga keeps taking breaks, which is fine. You know, I get it. That's their pattern. But I'm definitely seeing sales of the comics suffer. Now, the trades will probably be okay. But every time one of these books takes a break, there's more new books coming out. And not just Image. Right now you have Afterburn or Aftershock, which I read one of their books today, come out with all these new books. You have Valiant picking up steam. You have, there's this company 451 that's got some interesting books that are coming out. Even First has some stuff. So it's like there's so much competition that every time you take a break, you're going to lose people. And my problem is that I can't really judge how many you're going to lose based on that break. And I have to start ordering lower to compensate. And then I sell out. And it's like, I don't, you know, it's a gamble that I'm taking all because they're taking time off. It stinks.
You hear it all the time format with these monthly books. The last thing you want to do is break the habit.
Right. Right. People. But I'm like Bitch Planet, Sex Criminals. I can't remember when the last issue came out. And it's just, you know, it's very funny with Hickman and, Fraction and Kelly Sue made this big thing where, you know, creator owned. Well, now apparently they're onto some TV thing and their creator owned books are now suffering because of it. And it's just, you know, but you're asking me to support your books, yet you won't support your own books. So why should I support your books with my dollar? Because I'm the one who, you know, I buy it and then I resell it to you guys. And so everyone that doesn't get resold, I'm eating. And I'm eating it because they decided to take a break. So it doesn't give me confidence. You know, their next book that comes out, it's like, I'll order a little bit less.
And the flip side of that is then you order just what your subscriptions are, mm-hmm. but then you're the jerk that doesn't have anything
right.
on the shelf.
But it's funny. I've really paid attention these last 2 months that I've never done this before, where I'm anticipating lost sales. It used to be always, this last issue sold 18, I'll order 20, so I have two for the shelf for new people coming in, so I have them to sell in the future. And nowadays, I'm ordering exactly what I sold, or even maybe less, anticipating drops. Because, especially with these Marvel ones, the drops are so severe. Zach asked a question that we'll address again next week. But he was talking about the all-new Hawkeye, and how he doesn't like the new Hawkeye book compared to the Matt Fraction book. And I looked, and I decided to look it up, and of all new Hawkeye, the Jeff Lemire one post-Fraction, number one I sold 36 of. And then in volume two, number one, I sold 20 of. And then the last issue, number three, I sold 7. So that's a fairly sizable drop that's hard to stay ahead of. Over the course of two issues, dropping 13 copies is crazy.
Do you recall what the all-new Hawkeye, what numbers it was at whenever it ended before Secret Wars?
I think it was down to like 14.
Okay.
So it's still even lost half from that. And that was a big... That break was really bad. A really bad idea. Because I can think of three women who were getting Thor specifically. You know, the thing on The View brought them in. What's this female Thor? This is great. They're liking it. Then they come in eight ships, and then it's taking a break for Secret Wars. So they come in the next month. Oh, no new Thor? Nope. Come in the following month. No new Thor? Nope. So this is now we're in June. Well, they didn't announce the new Thor series until probably at least July at San Diego, if not later. So they're coming in 2-3 months in a row. I don't have anything to tell them about a new series, when it's coming back or anything, and they haven't been back. So, you know, that's three people I lost, and that's...
And they weren't buying other books. They were just for that Thor.
Those three were just that, but, I mean, there's always the opportunity. Hey, if you like this,
yeah,
try this. But they're just, you know, they're now gone. They got onto something else because they took that six-month break, which just, I don't understand the thought process behind that. And I think they're reaping some of what they sowed.
Like the 2-month DC break was bad enough.
It was bad enough, but like one thing I mentioned in the tweet to Big Bang, it says at least I could tell you exactly when the books were coming back.
Yeah,
April and May, you will have no DC books. Come June, everything back to normal. With Marvel, you come in May. Well, I don't know. Secret Wars has started. I don't know when this is going on. You know, so just. It was bad. You know, they were being very secretive. You know, even back when we were asking in February, how long are these books going to run? And then they get coy with their answer of, these books will last the duration of Secret Wars. Thanks. How long is that? Well, it ended up being 3 months longer than they previously told us, even though those books didn't go that time. And so it just, and it was frustrating. Also, it makes me mad that, like, Kitty Pryde and Star-Lord was a 3-issue series, and some were 4, and some were 5, and so they never told us those ahead of time, and it was just, they were so coy, but I definitely think it's going to be very interesting to see the January and February sales charts, because they're out of number ones for the most part, and the fact that even Big Bang is saying big drops on number 2, we're going to start seeing actual sales numbers, not the inflated because of variants and things. Because even, I've mentioned before on the beat, when you're looking at the Marvel things, there was almost a 50% drop between 1 and 2 across the board on the Marvel books. So I'm not saying that's going to happen every issue, but it's showing that those number 1 it numbers were completely inflated.
Yeah.
Like I saw in December, Guardians of Infinity was the number 6 book on the sales chart. I'm like, at 150,000 copies, I'm like, and I'm ordering 4 of number 4? That's, something's wrong.
Because no one knew at that point.
Well, no, nobody knew. That had to have been a Loot Crate book or a Marvel Crate book. There's no way it outsold things like Darth Vader. You know, there's no way. Not Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of Infinity, which is the Guardian 3000 team-up book that, yeah.
Yeah, I was saying just because retailers didn't know how they knew going to shake out yet.
No. And the fact it outsold Guardians of the Galaxy. So that tells me. Speaks volumes. So.
Lighter news. We got the Suicide Squad trailer.
Right.
The new one yesterday. Which I thought was a vast improvement over the first trailer we saw. This one made the movie look fun. Which I don't mind the dark movies. But that first trailer just, I don't know, it got me excited, but I didn't care for things like the opera music while she's hanging upside down, and it just seemed more serious.
You're a Queen fan, so that's why you like this
one. I am a Queen fan.
Okay, fair enough.
That's true. I can't argue that. But it just, the whole trailer seemed fun, and everyone seemed to kind of embody their character more than they did in that first trailer where you had the first trailer.
I think it also explained who the characters were a little bit more.
It did a good job of that.
The guy with the face tattoos is a fire guy. And, yeah.
Yeah. And then we saw, you didn't see it yet, but some footage from Wonder Woman, which I think looks pretty good. Still tons of comments from people about how that she physically doesn't embody the part.
Right.
But from the footage, I thought she looked, fine. And in the few fight scenes we saw, looked like she was, very capable of kicking ass. And at no point did I look at it and think, yeah, this doesn't feel believable to me. So I'm excited for that. I'm still surprised how long we have until that comes out, because that's not until, I think, summer of 2017. So for us to be seeing footage already, it seems like a long time.
It's like we've been seeing the Batman Superman stuff for a long, long, long time. It's like, how long did it take you to edit this?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then when's Doctor Strange coming? Because they're already showing at least images from that. But I know that one's sooner. That's like this winter type thing.
I think that's before the end of the year.
Yeah.
That's what surprised me, how that that's being filmed at the same time as Wonder Woman, yet they come out a year apart.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movies this year.
Yeah.
This year is very this is the first year where it's super inflated with all of these comic
and then,
book
but,
films.
And then you kind of worry, you know, there's so many TV shows, so many movies. Is it going to burst the bubble? You know, is it too much? How much is too
much?
Yeah,
I don't know if it is going to burst the bubble as much as people will finally have to be picky about it. So before it was, I will watch this because it is a show that is based on a property that I am a big fan of.
Right.
Now it's going to be, this has to be a good show. Like you guys like Gotham. I'm not a huge fan of Gotham. I may stop watching Gotham altogether because there's just so much on now that I'd rather watch over that show, which aggravates me. Whereas previously I would have watched it just because, well, there's not much and it has, you know, these characters that I'm a fan of.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't think it's going to suddenly crash, but who knows? Who knows how big it's going to get before it's over.
Yep. Okay. Book-wise, like I said, I didn't read a ton, but I figured we'll leave Secret Wars till next week where everybody can discuss it. Maybe I can read it three more times and figure out what the heck happened. One I want to talk about, I don't know if you read it, Superman American Alien.
That was really good.
I did not like the first issue that much.
I did.
But I stuck with it, and I really liked number two, where he's a teenager. I thought that one was fantastic. And so I'm reading this one. And one, I really like the cover, and I love the variant cover. It was fantastic on this one. But this was awesome. Basically, Clark wins a trip to the Caribbean as he's going there on this rickety little plane.
This little Cessna.
It crashes in the ocean. And all of a sudden, he's picked up by this yacht. And he's like, what? And it's all these rich guys, and they mistake him for Bruce Wayne. Because Bruce Wayne has really never been seen, but it's his birthday, and they're out there.
Yeah, I think they said he hasn't been seen since he was 13 years old.
Yeah, and so he's down there, and they're like, oh, you know, that's a fancy way to make an entrance, you know, in a crashed plane and everything. And so he just kind of plays along. Nobody believes him when he says he's not who he is, and then...
Then he encounters... Several people on the boat are bigger names in the DC universe. So he encounters Barbara Minerva. The cheetah.
Right.
And she knows that he's not...
But is that who he hooked up with?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Because it kept saying Barbara, and I'm like, is that Barbara Gordon?
No,
that was... I wasn't sure who that was supposed to be.
Yeah, no, it was the cheetah.
Okay.
So she knows that he's not Bruce Wayne, and she's the one that says no one's seen him, and these people just... They want it to be him.
Right.
They want it to... This party to...
They want to be hanging with Bruce Wayne.
So she's the one that encourages him just to, you know, go with it. Like, it's not going to harm anyone.
Yeah.
Just, you know, enjoy yourself. But it was, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a great scene where he gets drugged by Deathstroke, who I guess has a hit on Bruce Wayne. But, of course, I mean, he's affected by it, but when he goes to slash him with a sword, obviously nothing happens.
Breaks and...
That was very funny. But it was just, that was outstanding. That issue was fantastic.
This is by far the best Superman series in a long time.
Yep.
Including, you know, the Geoff Johns Superman recent run, the Scott Snyder, I forget what it's called now, the subtitle of that.
Unchained? Yeah, it wasn't very good.
It was okay. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. But no, this has been a great way to show who...
Superman through the ages. Yeah, growing up.
Who Clark Kent really is, personality-wise, and how he has evolved to be. You're the Man of Steel.
Yeah.
I think that's seven issues total?
Yeah, it's a seven issue. We're three issues in. But yeah, that first one, or that last one was just so good. I really enjoyed it when I finished it. I was just like, wow.
Reading this, I hope that Max Landis does something else for DC as well.
He's doing something at Marvel. I don't remember what.
As a person, his opinions half the time, but his writing's great. He's doing something at Marvel?
I want to say something. I know his name is on something else. I can't put my finger on it.
Are you thinking about Max Bemis?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So I think it's Max Bemis who did Polarity.
Mm-hmm.
He was announced for something recently.
Yeah.
Colin's looking something up.
I am, sorry. No, I guess I'm wrong. No, all I'm seeing is, yeah, never mind. American Alien, yeah. Okay. Maybe, yeah, maybe I was thinking Bemis then. I apologize.
It's okay. Forgive me. So you don't want to talk about Secret Wars at all?
No, I figured we'll leave that for when everybody's here. Okay. You know, if they can brave the, you know, weather.
Well, let me just ask you this.
Yes.
Did you enjoy the ending?
I did. I enjoyed the book, but I didn't... It was Morrison-esque in the, what the heck? You have one character creating universes and another character throwing them into outer space to exist and just a lot of what? I missed all the Miles stuff, not knowing Miles, because they make a point of always going to talk to his mom. Okay. I had no idea his mom had died in his book. So not knowing that, it had zero impact on me.
Yeah.
That whole scene made no sense to me.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So any emotional weight they had for that didn't mean a thing to me. And then the Black Panther stuff, it was pointed out to me that, and I did look, that scene with the Black Panther and those... the kids around the fountain type thing
mm-hmm.
is lifted directly from the first issue of New Avengers. And I'm like, that's too...
Yeah, I kept hearing from people that, oh, this makes so much more sense if you read New Avengers number one.
Right.
I'm like, well, I'm not going to go back and read something from...
Right, and people have told me, oh, it makes more sense if you read all...
3 or 4 years ago.
I'd say three. But and it also makes more sense if you read his entire Fantastic Four run. I'm like, okay, you're asking too much of people to do an event that requires all this stuff. I shouldn't need to know all this to enjoy it. But yeah, it just, I don't, and then my question is, so did Molecule Man fix everything? Did Reed fix everything? Or because it tied back in with New Avengers number one, and it showed Black Panther fussing with the, I think it was the Reality Gem,
mm-hmm.
did Black Panther reset everything? We don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Yeah, and it's just so much kind of left up in the air, which I get they don't want to necessarily specifically answer.
Yeah.
But then, okay, but so some books didn't change at all. Some did. We don't know why. They're just kind of accepting Miles in this universe. But now there's infinite number of other universes, and just the whole thing just... And the one thing that gets me is the whole point of Squadron Supreme is there are all these people from these universes that died during the... What they call it? Inversion? They couldn't call it convergence. But whatever...
Incursions.
Yeah. And the reason that they kill Namor in issue one is because he personally was the one that blew up that character's world. Well, isn't that world back now? So is their anger irrelevant? That's what I'm saying.
A variant of that world.
Yeah. So, but it's just one of those, okay, you know, you're playing this great big game, you know, this big story, big idea thing, but there's just all these little questions that are like, wait, what? I don't understand. So.
It works in Hickman's books.
Right.
But when you start to bring in the all the other books, that's
right.
when it kind of falls apart.
Doesn't make a ton of sense. Stop. I'm busy. Sorry.
Oh. He just wants to talk to you.
No, he's very annoyed because New Avengers is, instead of, they're from the future, but they won't say what year they're from. They're saying 20XX.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see the line he put in there.
And it's like, okay.
20XX. XX years
he's
in the future.
Future. Yeah, that's what he's texting me about.
It's one of those things where, like, if you're not going to say it, why put the line in there at all?
Yeah.
Just leave it out.
Yeah.
Because who do you think someone's going to read that and be like, ooh, mysterious?
Right, yeah. They let Tippy Toe wire the time machine, and squirrels are colorblind.
He's really examining this.
He is. It's very funny. So, and I'll talk about the other book. I'll talk about that next week. Anything you want to talk about specifically last week that jumped out at you?
Well, I think Robin War number two will wait until next week.
Yeah, because most of them read it. Yeah. Sorry, folks. And also, we got a question from Zach, but we'll hold that till next week as well. If people actually show up, jerks.
I have to apologize. Some people will appreciate the shorter condensed podcast.
That's true.
This week.
That's true. Where are we at? We're 50 minutes. Holy cow.
We could be in an hour.
When we start sniffling?
I will mention... Well, first I'll talk about All New Hawkeye, since that was mentioned a couple times. Okay. So this kind of, I think, wraps up this arc with Clint and Kate showing these flash forwards to the future and how they've had to try and get back these kids that have these... They almost look like they've been radiated in some way. Like, they okay. look like they're mutated, deformed, and they have this ability to just kind of make people, you know, die around them. I don't know if it's necessarily like a bomb or if they're just emitting radiation, but they can, you know, kill people at will, these three kids. And in the present day, in the previous, the all-new Hawkeye, you had Clint and Kate getting these kids from, I think it was AIM at the time, and then they turned them over to Hydra, or not Hydra, okay. to S.H.I.E.L.D. And then we're finding out in this arc that S.H.I.E.L.D. was no better and still used these kids as weapons. And we're seeing how, you know, in present day, Clint and Kate, their relationship's kind of falling apart because she felt they should have, you know, kept the kids or found a better place for the kids, whereas Clint talked her into turning these kids over to S.H.I.E.L.D. And then we see how, you know, I think it was 20 or 30 years in the future, where we found out they haven't talked in years, that Kate is now, like, the Hawkeye, and she has this big, you know, I guess empire, for lack of a better word, her enterprise of her, you know, being Hawkeye and other people that are, you know, working for her, and she's, you know, with S.H.I.E.L.D., and Clint has kind of been, you know, forgotten about over okay. the years, and she brings him back because they have to fix what they, you know, messed up in the past and get these kids back from S.H.I.E.L.D., and it just, it doesn't all gel yeah. really well. The flash forwards aren't that, you know, exciting at okay. all. The present day stuff is better because it's more, you know, a personal story. You're seeing what's going on with Clinton and Kate and how, you know, things are breaking down between them and see how Clint's kind of coming around to it. It's more of an emotional story, I guess, whereas the flash forward, some of it just doesn't make sense. I mean, a lot of it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense even with why she'd be so upset that they turn the kids over to S.H.I.E.L.D., because what else were they going to do with these kids that right. could essentially just kill people on the fly? But it's okay. I can understand why people are dropping it. There's nothing, you know, really exciting or captivating about the series so far. Dr. Mirage, Second Life, so number 2 came out. This is a mini-series, so it's 2 of 4 from Valiant. So Dr. Mirage is more like an occult figure in the Valiant universe who can see and communicate with ghosts, with the dead. Okay. And she has her husband, who is, he's dead, and they, with issue 1, they're trying to use this ancient scroll and these runes to give him more of a solid form, so that way, you know, they could be together again, and also they could revive, you know, their career, where at one point in time they had this like a cult themed, you know, television show, and her agent is trying to, you know, push her towards them reviving this, and that way okay. they can go into business together. Well, in the course of trying to, you know, research this and bring him back, they inadvertently let loose some spirit that is capable of killing other ghosts and humans as well. And when the spirit initially gets loose, he kills all the, you know, dead family members whose ghosts have been inhabiting and protecting this, you know, home of friends of theirs, and this uncle of the family who is trying to help them with, you know, bringing him back. So now this issue, they're trying to track down who the spirit is and at the same time get another copy of this rare scroll, so that way they can use it to, you know, bind the spirit again and also bring her husband back. But it was good. This issue specifically had kind of a noir feel to it, as they're looking at the, you know, who this spirit was. We find out that he is this, you know, 1930s, like, Hollywood, you know, sorcerer kind of okay. figure who was, you know, a cultist to the stars and tried to perform this ritual and, you know, killed this starlet in the process, which caused him to be bound in this scroll. And after all these years being bound in the scroll, he kind of became part of the scroll, so now he can use these, you know, dangerous rituals at his will. But it was really good. I've liked this this series a lot. I think the series works well as a mini series. I think as an ongoing, it might, feel too much like Constantine, or it might get kind of dull. But
okay.
With these mini series, they can focus on one story and be done with it. It's been pretty solid. Green Lantern Corps, Edge of Oblivion. So that's the...
I took it home to read it. I just...
You didn't...
No, I tried.
Failed this podcast.
I did.
So this is the second half of the story of what's going on with the rest of the Green Lantern Corps. So we had Lost Army for the first six issues, and now this is six issues for the tale of them returning to our universe or trying to get back to the universe. So we see several Green Lanterns on MOGO trying to come up with a plan of action, and they decide they should, light a beacon to try and attract other Green Lanterns who may be in that
okay.
universe. Because there's no other way they could find them. They can't communicate with them through the rings. The universe is decaying. So MOGO essentially illuminates herself. Is MOGO a girl?
I think so.
MOGO illuminates herself. So the planet's this huge shining beacon in space. And you see all these other lanterns who are out searching, sees the light, and starts traveling towards MOGO. But at the same time, this other, planetoid... starts flying towards MOGO, and it's much larger than MOGO, and they think that, it's about to collide and destroy MOGO. So the lanterns all come together to form a shield to hold it back, and then they find out that there is, the last city of that universe on this planet, and it has all these refugees from the universe and these gigantic, guardians who initially... One of them starts battling with the lanterns before the other one comes around and says, these aren't our enemies. And the lanterns decide to try and help, protect those people and help them find a way to escape that universe before it dies. And there's some dissension. Not all the lanterns agree that they should be helping these people. Some think that, this universe is before ours. We can't be making changes. We just have to get out of here.
Prime directive.
Yeah, the prime directive. But it was good. It was a pretty good story. It picks up right where Lost Army left off. It's an interesting Green Lantern Corps premise. I think Tom Taylor did a good job. The art was good for the most part. So it's Ethan Van Sciver.
Okay, yeah.
The only thing I don't like some of the lanterns, just, I guess because of how they've been drawn recently, this is like a big departure. Like Guy Gardner looked really weird to me.
Okay.
Considering how we've seen him in, Lost Army and how we saw him in the Red Lanterns book. Like in this, he looked very different.
Okay.
There was a couple instances of that. And we see some of the people in this city aren't quite the good guys.
Okay.
One of the lanterns gets killed pretty brutally in the shadows, and no one else knows about it yet. So it's some intrigue set up. It should be a solid miniseries
cool. So
far. Let's see, what else do I want to mention? Ninjak, number 11. So
okay. This
is part two of Operation Deadside, where Ninjak and Punk Mambo are in the Deadside on a mission for MI6. And the first mission that was sent over by MI6 went to hell, and Punk Mambo was the only survivor. So now it's just her and Ninjak. So it starts off, they're stranded on this, island, and they're trying to find a way to get to, their destination in the Deadside. And the only thing that kind of threw me off is that it seemed like Ninjak was much more knowledgeable about things in the Deadside than the occult person that's there as kind of the expert. But the book was fun. We found out that the island they're on isn't really an island. It's this giant, almost like elemental, being.
Okay.
And they find out that, there's this giant sword like plunged into it, and it's been wounded, and all these, the creatures of this type have thought to be, extinct from the Deadside for years. So they use their lows they've captured to try and get the sword out and turn it to, helping them. But it was fun. And the issue was broken up into two parts, where we had the first half that followed Ninjak and Punk Mambo, and then a backup, which really was about half the size of the book, where it focused on Shadow Man and how he kind of became, enslaved to Master Dark, and is now going by the name Magpie. And he's on a mission just to find all these relics in the dead side for Master Dark, and only then can he be free. But in the course of doing that, he's brutally, you know, slaughtering people, or slaughtering, I guess, creatures in the dead side. I don't know if the people in the dead side, if they are truly all dead, or if it is a parallel dimension or universe or what, but it was good. The coloring, especially in this book, was fantastic. Everything just really popped and had like a very magical feel to it, which makes sense for the dimension they're in. And the last one I'll talk about here, I think I said it with Ninjak, but this will be the last one. Slash and Burn, number 3.
Okay.
So this is one of those new Vertigo books.
Right.
And it focuses on Roisin, who is a firefighter who has a past as a pyromaniac. She was an orphan and fell in with a, you know, gang of other kids that were all pyros. But it looks like they were, you know, doing everything they were doing in service to the Matchstick Man, who seems like might actually be someone, not just, you know, some god or some, you know, non-existent being that they followed. And in the present, we're seeing a lot of fire-related deaths, and a lot of the victims are people from her past, other kids from, you know, her gang in the orphanage. So it's really set up a nice mystery, what's going on. It's good.
I started that one, I just didn't keep up with it. Just so much coming up. But it's in my pile to read.
Yeah, this Vertigo launch, I think, I mean, at least for me, I think I'm reading about maybe half or a little less than half of the new books, and they all have a, you know, unique story, unique tone.
Absolutely.
And it's been
a neat different look and everything.
Yeah, I've liked it a lot. I think it's worked. I don't know what the numbers are, but for me,
I'm
successful.
Vertigo's never done well for me. I mean, even at its peak, I think Fable sold me like 5 copies.
Yeah.
You know, so issue-wise, they've never sold well. But if nothing else, it's creating trades that have a chance to get some traction, get some
promotion. I hope they
promotion.
I hope they do well, because I think a lot of these are very,
because they're not all minis too. I noticed some of them are ongoing.
No, like Slash and Burn is an ongoing. Clean Room's an ongoing.
But like Twilight Children, are you reading that one?
Yes.
Where I think that one, I haven't read 3 yet. And 4's next week. I don't know how it ends, but that's something that has potential to sell as a trade just because of the art and the writer.
Yeah.
Where it'll be, oh, do you have that? You know, the Twilight Children book. Where, not to be mean, Marvel doesn't really have that line. They don't have anything really like that.
Yeah.
Where it'll sell because it's Vertigo as a trade.
And with Vertigo, they seem to get every once in a while some pretty big creators.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like Twilight Children is Gilbert Hernandez and Darwin Cook.
Yeah.
Those are two
like people
big
that
names.
You wouldn't see pick up a regular DC book, you know, even
yeah,
for
might
a miniseries,
get one of those, yeah.
But they will jump on for a Vertigo book,
yep.
People that aren't normally with them. No, it's been, they've all been pretty good.
Yep.
And that's it. I think it's all the books that I want to mention today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I also read Gutter Magic, but I'll talk about that next week. Nothing special.
Coming out next week?
What's coming out next week? Well, we have all new, all different Avengers number 4. We have all new Inhumans number 3. Angela, Queen of Hell number 4. Just getting close to the end of its run. No.
The reason why they think that one might be done is because suddenly the listing for the first trade, I think it was on Amazon.
Yeah, changed from...
is now, instead of issues 1 to 5, it's issues 1 to 7, and it lost its volume 1 tag, which is kind of a sign that they want to collect all of the issues and be done with it.
Sorry. Aquaman has its adult coloring book variant. We have a couple action figures we've been waiting for. The Arkham Knight Man-Bat and Professor Pig. Beauty number 6. I think Pat's reading that one. Black Magic number 4. I think Dave's reading that one.
Dave is reading that.
Bloodshot Reborn number 10. A bunch of you guys are reading that now.
Is it number 10 or number 11?
10.
Oh, okay.
Doubting my ability to read?
No, I thought number 10 is what we just had. Unless it's the
director's
cut.
I'm going to say it was number 9. Carnage number 4. Cry Havoc number 1, which is an Image one. Daredevil number 3. We're finally getting my colored pencils. The DC adult coloring book pencils are coming next week. Hurrah.
That was using crayons.
Fair enough. Just some of those are so fine, you need that fine too. Deadpool and Cable, Split Second number 2. Deathstroke's getting its adult coloring book variant. Extraordinary X-Men number 6. Faith number 1. Ghostbusters International number 1. Grayson's getting its adult coloring book. The Hellboy Winter Special. Jack number 3, which is another of the Vertigos. Jupiter Circle volume 2 number 3. That one's been doing very well sales-wise. We get Justice League 3001 and Justice League of America, along with an adult coloring book on the last one. Last Gang in Town is another Vertigo. Monstrous number 3.
That's really good.
Yeah, I haven't read 2 yet, but number 1 is outstanding.
Yeah, that's been a really cool book.
Yeah. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Woo! Old Man Logan number 1. So we'll figure out what's going on there. Omega Man number 8 for Josh. Previews is
just
next
for
week.
Me.
Just for you.
Thousands and thousands and thousands
hundreds
of
and
people
hundreds of people are reading it.
We're saying bring this book back. It's yes, deserves it, and it does. But
Ringside number 3, Saga number 33 is back. Southern Bastards for Dave and Pat.
Dave's a Southern Bastard.
Well, no, but he's the one reading that.
I'm reading it in trade. Did Volume 3 come out yet?
Not yet.
Damn it.
Well, I mean, this is only issue 13, so maybe soon. I don't know.
I'm used to those Image books having an arc, break, trade, next arc.
Right. Spire number 6, I'm a little behind on that, but that's by my Six Gun Gorilla guys. Strayer number 1, which is a Justin Jordan Vertigo. Or no, not Vertigo. That's Afterburn Comics. Doing that.
They're getting a lot of huge creators.
They are. I was talking to somebody about that today. I said, it's a catch-22 because they have all these really big names, which is great, but it's also a really small company. And are you going to come out with number 2? Are we ever going to see number 3? You know, I don't know what they are, so I'm not going to go in, oh, I'm going to order 20 copies of this because I don't know who they are, what they are.
Yeah, I wonder how many of these big creators are going to stay on for the long haul, too. Because are these aren't creator-owned books, are they?
My guess is they probably are.
Really?
That's why they're going there. And it's just maybe an alternative to Image. Maybe they offered them something to go there.
Well, that's the case, then. It's probably cheaper for them to operate.
Yeah.
If a lot of the risk is on the creators.
Yeah. Because it was interesting. I remember I talked about this a long time ago, where Justin Jordan, the reason he did a book at Boom was because he got paid for it. Where at Image, you get paid after the fact. You get a cut off the back end, where when he did work for Boom, he got paid as he turned in each script. And he's like, you know, it's a different, you know, sometimes, not so much that you need the money, but, you know, you have bills to pay. And if you're waiting for the back end, which could be, you know, months after the book actually comes out, that's a long time between the work and the reward. Superman has the adult coloring book. Superman Lois and Clark has an adult coloring book variant, as does Teen Titans. Twilight Children number 4 comes out. Venus number 2, which was interesting. That was the Boom about Earth is dying. China has already taken over Mars, so the rest of another group of countries, including the U.S., are having to try to settle on Venus. And then Victory City, which is an IDW one, a little noirish book. So, decent little week, nothing huge, which is kind of funny because when are we going to get more huge weeks? I'm hoping for, but I don't know what's out there to give us huge weeks. So, if you want to find me, it's PittsburghComics.com or on Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics, where you'll see a lot of hockey tweets. Just because. And
Previews order due?
Previews order is due Thursday. It's really early this month.
Thursday the 21st.
Thursday the 21st. Technically, it's due the last Friday of the month. Or not the last Friday, it's due the fourth Friday of the month. The problem is the first was a Friday. But you kind of forget that because it was a holiday. It was New Year's Day. And then it's due the fourth Friday at 3 a.m. So I don't really consider that Friday really being valid.
Why would it be due at 3 a.m.?
I don't know.
Who's checking at 3 a.m.?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what that time reasoning is. If there's anything you want, please let me know. I'll get something up on the website, too, about this. It didn't surprise me. I've known about it, and I actually have the order done. Because I got to it early. But it helped. Sunday night, I decided to work on it. Sandy was out of town. and I put on for background, not background noise, but I put on that Making a Murderer on Netflix, and
everyone
was just
is
yeah.
Their
so
own.
I was you know doing this because it's just data entry, and you can kind of split your attention. And so I was doing that, and then Monday morning I woke up and tried to finish it because working on the computer here from home through GoToMyPC, but I had to get it done by noon before they open, and I did get it done. And I didn't come down because I'm like, well, I want to keep watching this. I still have one episode left to go. But yeah, it's interesting. Scary interesting. Just in scary what can happen to you
yeah.
if somebody has it out for you. Yeesh. So, but that's it. We're a little over an hour. Oh, hour and 10. But
We went 20 more minutes.
We did.
How?
Green Lantern miniseries. I'm going to blame it all on that.
Jeez.
No. So
if people do want to come down and buy stuff, if they buy like Valiant, is there any sales?
Yeah, if you're Valiant, you get to play with the Battle Axe. Yeah. So this has kind of been an unannounced, the only place that we've actually talked about it is here on the podcast.
Yeah, and I've been working on a post, and it's taking me a while because I'm trying to get suggested reading orders and
I have a couple more pictures to send to you too.
Okay.
But basically, if you buy a Valiant trade, I'm giving you double points, and we're going to continue this throughout February as well.
So February
will February be the official Valiant month. But also take your picture holding the book you bought and the Battle Axe, and we're going to send all these pictures off to Valiant as a thank you for sending me the Battle Axe, but also to say, hey, look, you know, I'm promoting your books, and we'll get some retweets from them and stuff, so it'll be good. And also the one sale I'm doing right now, it's action figures. I'm doing double points on all action figures through the end of January. I've developed a plan for some different sales and things like that, just trying to spice things up. So keep your eyes peeled. I'll be posting those on the website and Facebook and Twitter. One other thing I meant to talk about, that I forgot to, it just dawned on me right now. With the sales kind of being so much in flux and order numbers on books and things being a little bit crazy, I can't stress more, and not just people shop here, but, you know, Zach and, I forget his name, I'm sorry, our customer up in New England. If there's a book you're interested in, there's a book you get, he sent us a couple questions, or just a couple Facebook.
I was thinking of the guy from Harrisburg.
I want to say, James in Harrisburg, I'm sorry. I don't
remember. He forgets because you haven't sent us a question in a while.
Well, no, he just left me comments on the Facebook page.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
But tell your retailer, hey, please hold this book for me, or I'm interested in this, please get me one. Holds are really more important than ever because, like I said, I don't know how to order, and I'm cutting way back because I'm having way too many copies of books when I go to put the new one on the shelf and, you know, I'm looking at 7 to 10 copies of the last issue still sitting there. You know, at most, I generally want one or two. So having 7 after a month is...
Yeah, I don't think people often realize that holds and pull lists help you out.
Well, it helps. I mean, it mostly helps you. I mean, it helps me out because I know better numbers. If I, you know, let's say I have 6 holds, but I sold 12 copies. Okay, so that's 6 people asked me to, and 6 people bought it off the shelf. So that's not as big a deal, but it's more of a case of, wow, I sold 10 of one and 4 of the next one. I'm only ordering 4 of this one, and all of a sudden you don't get your copy. And as happens more and more, I can't get more because the publishers are also printing less. They want less overage. And all of a sudden, then I can't, like Daredevil. You know, I sold out of Daredevil really quick. Well, tell me you want it, and I'll hold you one. It's not a problem. I don't know. And it's a big guessing game. And, yeah, I just have way too much stuff sitting on the shelf right now, too much money tied up in that. So, I'm having to cut back just because I'm throwing away money. I haven't figured out a good way to cook comic books and serve them up. I've tried them with kale. I've tried them with sriracha sauce. It's still not tasty. So
barbecue.
Check. So it's just a case, you know, let your store, not, you know, me, but also, you know, your local store, please let them know. Right now it's almost vitally important to make sure you get the books. Nobody wants to sell out too fast, but we all want to sell out eventually.
Yeah. You don't want to sit on stuff forever. That's never
gonna show. It's a delicate balance. And right now it just, things are really in flux. So I did want to mention that.
Going back to your other sell the action figures, does that include like the pop vinyl?
Yeah, I'm including the pops. It doesn't include statues and the lead figures and things like that.
What about like the big Star Trek ships?
Absolutely, the big Star Trek ships, because I'm sitting heavy on those. Those used to sell really, really well, and then they kind of slowed down. So. Yeah. Just trying to clear out some inventory, just trying to make some room. If you come in the store, you notice we got rid of a rack, and I think it's made a ton of difference over on the other side.
Oh, I didn't know you got rid of one.
See?
I wasn't over there.
But, and there's going to be a bunch of different sales, just trying to put focus on some different areas and things like that, trying to spice things up, through this winter to make things a little more interesting and a little more fun.
That's a neat way to do it. Focus on some publishers that deserve some extra attention and
publishers, characters, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. So keep your eyes. My other goal is always to post more stuff on social media and stuff. Yeah. So we will talk at you next week. Hopefully we'll have some more people.
That's a podcast.
We'll see you.